from SLB Radio in Pittsburgh, Crossing Fences. African-American boys and young men creating oral history showcasing the lives and accomplishments of local African-American men.
I grew up here in Homestead and grew up in the steel mill days, so a lot of steel mills.
Flesh and blood principalities, battle over spiritual policies, thinking that the one is going to follow.
We were responsible for our community. You know, we say we need help, but we got to learn how to help ourselves.
A lot of people who are pioneers and icons who got us to where we are today because they used their brains. If they used their fists, we would never have heard about them.
From anesthesiologists to barbershop owners, entrepreneurs to engineers, and coaches to deacons, over 170 men have been interviewed. Today, let's hear from Keith Giles, age 63 at the time of this interview.
Nothing comes easy in life, and there's always struggles and there's always fights. So, you know, I kind of like welcome them now. I think the fight makes me stronger and wiser. I had a relatively good childhood. I had 9 siblings, which I was the 3rd oldest of the 9. Well, I wanted to go to college, but I didn't have the opportunity to go right away because 2 of my siblings had passed away. My oldest brother had Hodgkin's disease, and he passed away at the early age of 21 years old. And my next to the oldest brother had just come home from Vietnam. Didn't get a scratch in Vietnam, but got a job with a telephone company and lost his life driving one of the vehicles. So I couldn't go to college right away because I felt like I had an obligation to take care of the rest of my siblings because we were raised in a one-parent household. My mother kind of like raised us all. I don't want to make this sound too harsh, but my major struggle was being African-American in a society that is predominantly Caucasian. And I'm not to say that there's other Caucasians that face some of the same problems that I face, but I felt some of the racism that was involved in me moving from one position to another. I had to sue the city of McKeesport, city council, and the mayor in order to open up my facility. That was 1992. Running into that glass ceiling where you can only go but so high and that's as far as we want you to go, and there's roadblocks placed in your way sometimes that prevents you from, you know, moving to the next step without a fight. I'm the chief executive officer of First Step Recovery Homes Incorporated, located here in the McKeesport area. My job consists of helping men that are recovering from drug and alcohol addiction and those that are homeless. My job at Monyalk was to get people into detoxes and rehab. But once they would come out, I would watch their pattern and they wouldn't be strong enough and go right back into their same community and start talking to the same people and wind up in the same predicament a month later. So I decided that I wanted to open up a halfway house for them. So once they came out of detoxes or rehab, they would have somewhere to go to get strong enough to go back into the community so they could be role models in their community, mentors in their community. So I went to my boss and kept telling him, I said, listen, we need to open up a facility so that we can help these gentlemen. He told me it was a great idea for a year, so I got discouraged and went on and opened up one myself. I didn't have any experience on doing any of this, but a guy that I knew that I met in recovery in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous was a realtor, and he gave me an opportunity to open up a facility without me giving him any money because I didn't have any money. So I started with this one facility on 330 Penny Street in McKeesport, which I still have to today. And I was in the process of writing my 501c3, and I submitted it, and it was approved. But now that I got this proposal, I got this grant money, I could hire a staff. So now I was on my way. Where I'm at now, I have 5 contracts with Allegheny County Department of Human Services to provide services to men recovering from drug and alcohol addiction. And it's not just housing these men. We provide case management service for them. We provide life skills services for them. We provide outreach for them. We provide domestic violence classes for them. We provide anything that they may need to move on in life. I would say that my biggest motivation came from my son. I was 38 years old, and I don't like to admit it, but I sold drugs a long time myself when I was young, you know, and I watched my son follow in my footsteps. He had got shot. Thank God it was just in his hand, doing some of the same things that I did. And that gave me the motivation to do something about my life, because I didn't want him becoming a statistic. I didn't want him falling into the same traps that I fell into. So I went into a detox and rehabilitation center myself back in 1988. Got clean myself, stopped selling drugs, got a job, and I went to college and got 2 degrees. I got a master's in drug and alcohol addiction. So I was able to pursue my career in something that I had experience in. You know, God is going to be with you at all times, but if you follow your dreams and try to do something that you would do even if you didn't get paid to do it, find a job or find a career or find something. You might have to do other things to get there, but never lose focus on what you want to really do with the rest of your life.
This oral history was collected by youth interviewers Cameron Mitchell and Desmond Stanford. Crossing Fences is made possible by the Heinz Endowments and was produced by SLB Radio Productions. Learn more at slbradio.org.